grab your pew Bible this morning and let's turn to, we're going to do this in reverse order. We're going to start in the book of John, John 1, chapters, verses 35 through 42, and then we're going to go back to Mark 1, verse 29 this morning in our reading this morning. As they make their way out, we are going to talk about Andrew. Last week we talked about Simon Peter and his discipleship, what his life looked like, and now we're going to talk about his brother Andrew and what kind of a guy he was. Notice that it's entitled, The Humble Apostle. And so you'll begin to formulate what Andrew was like throughout my message this morning, what kind of life that he led, and hopefully you get to learn about who he was. So this morning we're going to start on John chapter 1, verse 35 through 42. And just like you said, Andrew and a couple other disciples are hanging out with John the Baptist, and John points out Jesus, just like Al had mentioned up here. And so that's where we pick up our reading here today. And this is what the word of the Lord says. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. Notice that they were disciples of John. They were following his ways, and they're part of the baptisms that are going on and stuff like that. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and I will see, you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah, that is, the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. And then if you turn back with me to Mark chapter 1, verse 29, just a little bit of a tidbit about Andrew that tells you where he lived and who he lived with as well. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. And so there you have the reading of the word of the Lord this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as you've opened up your word to us this morning, may it bring a freshness and light to our souls. May it feed us today through the work of your Holy Spirit. Lord, may this same Spirit fill me as I bring this message to your people. Lord, may these words be your words and never my own. In Jesus whom I pray, amen. I'm going to date myself here this morning, but how many of you remember Walter Cronkite? Some of you do? All right. Now, Walter was the evening news hour broadcaster, and back then, believe it or not, we only got three stations on our TV, ABC, NBC, or CBS. And so Walter was on one of those stations that would bring the evening news to our households. Walter was very well recognized. Walter's now gone. He's no longer alive. But I got a little story for you this morning that I want to share with you about Walter. Walter loved to sail. And so him and his wife were sailing down the Mystic River in Connecticut one day. He was following the channel's tricky turns and bends as he went through the water. And a boatload of young people came sailing by. And all its people were hollering, they're waving, and they're shouting their arms, and they're saying something to Walter and his wife. And they all waved back, cheering, and they were thankful for the praise and the recognition of who Walter was. And so his wife says, "Do you know what they were shouting?" And Walter responds, "Why, yes, they're saying, 'Hello, Walter, hello, Walter.'" And his wife stopped him for a minute. He says, "No, that's not at all what they were saying. They were saying, 'Low water, low water.'" Oh, the bliss of the ignorance of those who are popular and think they have it all figured out, don't they? Yes, Andrew was exactly opposite when it comes to his personality. He was the type of guy that kind of stayed in the background. He kept a low profile. Let me back up here one. He was that kind of a person. He was humble as he lived out his life. He never pursued the spotlight in his ministry, such as the others did. Now, you know, and I told you that Andrew was the older brother of Simon Peter. He was always left in the background of most biblical stories. Yet, he was the first disciple to be called by Jesus. There's no question that he had a very close relationship with Jesus when he was on this earth. Andrew and Simon Peter, they grew up as boys together in the village of Bethsaida. Later they moved to Capernaum and they began the family fishing business together on the Sea of Galilee. Andrew and Simon, they had their own home, as I just read to you in chapter 1, verse 29. They lived together, they worked together, and you can see they were disciples together as well. But Andrew always lived his life in the shadow of his well-known brother, Simon Peter. His name only appears 9 times in the New Testament. Most of the time, he's referred to as Peter's brother. Never is his name mentioned a whole lot, besides the verses that I read you this morning. But he was bold, he was decisive, he was deliberate, and he was driven by a passion for the truth. Notice that his name means manly. He was a manly type of a guy. He was humble, but he was never feeble or wimpish. His life is a great model for us today. His heart was for people. He seen value in people's lives. While Peter, John, and James were preaching to crowds, Andrew was bringing people to Christ one at a time. Every time you see him in Scripture, every time you see him doing something that refers to him, he's bringing someone to Jesus. The first time, the first act of him understanding and meeting Christ for the first time, he goes to get his brother, Simon Peter. We read that this morning when John the Baptist said, "Here's the Messiah." And they couldn't believe it. And they went with Jesus and they learned who he was. The first thing that Andrew does, it's to go get his brother. Simon, you need to know who this is. You need to meet Jesus. And he brought him to Christ. That's the style of ministry that Andrew does throughout his lifetime. John 12, verse 20 through 22. We didn't read that this morning, but here's another little story that I'll read you this morning. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship in the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. And they said, "Sir, we'd like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew, because Philip wasn't really sure, how do I do this? What do I do? And Andrew goes right to Jesus with these men, and he shares with them, this is Jesus. This is the Christ. He was not afraid to approach Jesus with people, sinful people. He'd go right to Jesus. Andrew was good. He became comfortable bringing people to Jesus in his life. So let me ask you a question. Are you working at becoming more comfortable? Are you becoming better in your life about bringing people to Jesus? Good question, isn't it? I got a slide I'll share with you just a little bit that I'll give you a statistic of how many people from the church actually bring people to Jesus, and it will scare you. I hope it motivates you as well this morning. His style of evangelism works well. It's one that we should be modeling in our own lives as we live upon this earth. And so let me just share with you a little bit more in detail of his style of the way he brought people to Christ. The most effective way to evangelize is to speak with someone on a personal level. Now remember I told you about how the others were kind of showy and like Peter, he'd get up and he'd preach a sermon and literally on one day 3,000 people came to the Lord. But Andrew wasn't like that. He got to know you. He had a conversation one-on-one with the person. He said, you know what? You really need to meet Jesus. And if they asked, he was all the more excited because he couldn't wait to bring people to Christ in their lives. That's the style of evangelism that Andrew was good at. And it wasn't so hard. He's good at it. Most people do not come to Christ because of a sermon they heard on the radio or they maybe sat in church. Most people come to Christ by the influence of someone in their lives. That's you and I. It's by what you say. It's about what you do with somebody one-on-one as you live life together, as you go on your way, as you go to your job, as you do your entertainment, as you gather as family, and so on. It's one-on-one. So I just told you what's the most effective way to evangelize today. It's getting to know someone. And then you invite them to church. Here's your statistic this morning. In the small print, you see where it says, be one of the two. All right? Now, here's the statistic. Out of all of you that are sitting in the church out there, this is talking worldwide today, 2% of the Christians in the world actually invite someone to church in their lifetime. 2%. Just think if the church said, you know what, we're going to do our job, and 100% of the people that gathered here today invited somebody to church next week that's never been to church, our church wouldn't be big enough to handle everybody, would it? But just think what that would do to our communities, what it would do to our families, what it would do to everything in society. It'd begin to change things, wouldn't it? This is the type of work that Andrew was in. One-on-one. Invite people to Christ. One-on-one, you can get to know someone. Invite them to church in your conversation. Some of you have done that out there. You've invited people to church. I know you've been intentional, and some of those people have shown up, and they're here today. They're part of our church family. That's the work of God. Praise God for those types of things that go on in our work as we minister to others in our lives. Think about that for a moment. Who are you getting to know within your community? Who are you establishing relationships with? And then who are you inviting to church? It's a pretty easy form of evangelism. It's not that scary versus approaching somebody you maybe never met before. But say, you know, you should come to church sometime. You should come check it out. That's a pretty easy form of evangelism. And I'm betting that most of you would probably be comfortable with that form of evangelism if you just try it a few times. Andrew, notice he became comfortable with it says. It was a little scary at first, but the more he did it, the better he got at it, the more comfortable he became with it in his life. And after a while, he became good at it. And he brought lots of people to Christ. He wasn't a big flashy preacher who swooped in and changed the community like his brother Peter. He kept a low profile in his life. He worked one-on-one with people. And I'm betting that's most of you today. You like to work one-on-one. You don't like the big crowds. And that's totally fine. A great way of evangelism. Simply inviting people you know to church. I have a story I'd like to share with you about a Sunday school teacher this morning. Not a very popular person. Do any of you recognize the name Edward Kimball? Anybody recognize Edward Kimball? I figured nobody would recognize Edward Kimball. It's not a very popular name, and he's not in a lot of books. But let me tell you about his life and his story, and then you might figure out what this guy actually did as he produced a great preacher in the world today. He's no longer with us. Both Ed and the preacher I'm going to tell you about are gone, But the legacy still lives on and is affecting millions of people around the world today. So Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. Edward knew of this 19-year-old unruly kid who was working in a shoe store that needed to have a little reform in his life. So Edward got up the courage one day to go to this shoe store and to talk with this young man about the way he was living his life, and he wanted to tell him about Jesus Christ and invite him to church. Edward was nervous. And to leave you out some of the details, the first time Edward went to the shoe store, he walked right past the front door because he was scared to go in and talk to this young man. And he prayed, and he said, you know what? If I'm not going to do it now, I'm never going to do it. And he walked back in the shoe store, and he went back to the room where the young man was working, and he said, hey, Dwight, I need to talk to you. And Dwight sat down in the shoe stock room in the back of this store in Chicago, and Edward shared with him Jesus Christ, invited him to church, and Dwight L. Moody became a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, many of you might not recognize Dwight L. Moody. How many of you have heard of Dwight L. Moody before? Oh, yeah, I got a few of you out there that have heard of Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody became a famous preacher, not only in America, but also in England and throughout Europe. And he changed thousands of lives through his preaching. And then he started a ministry called Dwight Moody Institute. The Moody Institute, based in Chicago, Illinois. How many of you have heard of the Moody Institute? Oh, a few more hands go up, don't they? This institute prepares people for ministry, for all kinds of missionary work, evangelism, and so on, all from the work of Edward Kimball, a Sunday school teacher who shared Christ with one person in the back of a shoe store when Dwight was 19 years old, invited him to church. Isn't that an amazing story? The lives that have been changed, the lives that have been touched by one person sharing Jesus Christ. Andrew was that type of a disciple. He changed people's lives. It's all the work of God in those lives. There's no doubt about it. The Holy Spirit's at work. It still works that way today. That should be exciting for you guys out there. You should be joyous about having the Holy Spirit in your life and sharing Jesus Christ to change the world. Now, what if Edward Kimball would have said, you know what? I can't do this, Lord. And he kept walking down that street. Maybe he would have sent the next person in. I don't know. But what a story of how God can work. We have stories like that in our church where people invited people in and their lives have been changed by Jesus Christ. Those are great things. And so I want you to recognize some things this morning. Thank God for people like Andrew. And you might be some of them that are out there today who are just quiet individuals, go about their business, but they work one-on-one with people, sharing the good news of Christ and inviting them to church. A lot of times you don't ever hear those stories. We don't always know why people come, but usually it's the work of someone in their lives inviting someone to church. You know, these types of people, they accomplish much for the kingdom of God. It just goes unnoticed. And they don't do it to seek recognition. They do it because they are humble servants of Jesus Christ. You know, like Andrew's ministry, it's often the little things that count. And so let me encourage you with a few things this morning. Andrew, if you read the story, how many of you know the feeding of the 5,000? Yeah, everybody should know that, right? The loaves and the fishes and so on. Guess who found the young boy in the crowd and brought him to Jesus? Andrew did that. Exactly. You see how he worked and how he lived? What a miracle that was, the feeding of the 5,000. Andrew brought that young boy to Jesus and said, here, this is what we have. The others were like, where do we get food? But Andrew had an inclination of something different through Jesus Christ. One-on-one, Look at the miracle that happened in this guy's life, in the feeding of the 5,000 that he witnessed and was a part of. Now, you might think that you're insignificant, that your gifts don't matter a whole lot, that you're not a great leader, or you're not a great preacher, but you need to realize that God uses what you think are insignificant gifts to change the world. That's how he works. God uses the humble and faint of heart to reach the lost. That's you and I. My prayer is that this morning, that God uses you to bring people to the Lord, much like Andrew did. So here's my challenge for you. I always leave you with the challenge, right? You know what it's going to be. Invite someone to church. And I don't care where you go to church. That's your command this week. That's your challenge. Invite someone to church this week and see what the Lord will do. Amen? Let us pray.